How to succeed in business without a successor.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Whenever legendary investor Warren Buffett leaves his company, Berkshire Hathaway, the 80-year-old will leave some big shoes to fill. Those shoes were supposed to be filled by top executive David Sokol. Not anymore. Sokol has resigned after reportedly buying 100,000 shares of Lubrizol stock before recommending that Berkshire buy the company. The news has shocked Wall Street, and Marketplace's John Dimsdale explains why.
The sudden change in Berkshire's direction comes as Apple tries to find a fill-in for ailing Steve Jobs, and News Corp's aging CEO Rupert Murdoch moves his younger son into position to succeed him. In many ways, these charismatic corporate leaders almost personify their companies. And Florida State University management professor Wayne Hochwarter says successors to those kinds of CEOs always have to struggle.
Every single move that you make will be scrutinized. Everything from hiring a secretary to changing the paper in the copy room. Somebody's going to be looking over one shoulder saying, you know, that's not the way Warren would have done it.
Investor concerns over a new successor for Berkshire's Warren Buffett are one reason why Sokol's resignation resulted in a 3% sell-off of the company's popular Class B shares in after-hours trading. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
There's a hearing in the House of Representatives today looking at plans to renovate or tear down, depending on your perspective, the once mighty mortgage giants Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. This comes just as regulators are figuring out new rules to make mortgages safer, as required by the new financial reform law. Marketplace's Economy 4.0 project looks at the ways the financial system can better serve more people. And our special correspondent, David Brancaccio, joins us now from New York. Good morning, David.
Morning, Jeremy.
So first of all, David, tell us how the new financial reform law impacts the world of mortgages.
Here's a concept. Skin in the game. If you're a lender, you want to make a mortgage, you should have some of your own capital at risk. Mm-hmm. If you have some of your own money at risk, maybe you'll be less likely to gamble. But there are loopholes.
Loopholes already? This law is brand new.
Well, you don't have to have skin in the game for a so-called safe mortgage. That's if you do an old-school 20% down payment loan, like in the old days.
Uh-huh.
But the other big loophole is, if the mortgage is backed by the mortgage giant Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac, then you don't have to have skin in the game.
But Fannie and Freddie are likely to undergo some changes themselves, right?
The subject of a lot of discussion on Capitol Hill, even as we speak. Yeah, Freddie and Fannie implicated in the entire mortgage meltdown. Many Republicans just hate those quasi-government institutions. I think Senator John McCain once said that their taxpayer-backed slush funds, we've put about $134 billion in taxpayer money into those things. And so in the House of Representatives, there were eight bills this week introduced that will either slowly or more quickly phase out Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and reduce their influence and power in the mortgage market.
And David, what does all of this mean for people who might be looking for a mortgage right now?
Well, there are progressive liberal groups who are quite concerned about the full demise of Fannie and Freddie, saying it could lead to things like the end of the 30-year fixed mortgage, which might be of concern to many people. But even the Obama administration is talking about significant changes to both those institutions, Republicans and the administration not that far apart. The question is really how quickly this all happens, Jeremy.
Marketplace's David Brancaccio in New York. Thanks, David.
My pleasure.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed right now in overseas trading. London is down about 0.1%. Ireland will get the results of its bank stress test today. Trading has been suspended for shares of some Irish banks in advance of the release. And talk about the tables being turned. 7 years after Microsoft was fined for the same thing, the company has joined a European Union antitrust complaint about Google's dominance. A Microsoft lawyer acknowledged the irony. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow gained 71 points to close at 12,350.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, insuring more than 75 million customers worldwide and providing retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. AllianzUSA.com. By Chevrolet, undertaking a carbon-reducing effort, investing in projects like wind farms and planting trees across America over the next few years. ChevyCarbonReduction.com. And by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733.
It's one thing for a company to track your clicks as you browse its website. It's quite another for it to track your emotions. But this week in San Francisco, scientists demonstrated new technologies aimed at getting inside your head. Marketplace's Steve Henn has more.
Rosalind Picard is a scientist at MIT's Media Lab and the co-founder of a startup called Effectiva. The company is teaching computers to recognize human emotions. The idea is to give online marketers a sense of how shoppers are responding to their products or pitches.
One way to think about it is, hey, if you were in our store, we'd be able to see, like, if you were looking confused or interested or like you needed help.
But if you're shopping online or streaming a video, the company on the other end of those wires doesn't know if you're amused, annoyed, or bored, or on the verge of closing the deal. So Picard and Effectiva created a web app that can watch you while you surf, a computer that tracks human emotions through a webcam.
If you're willing to turn on your webcam and let us see that, we'll try to offer you better service.
Successful salespeople know how to read their customers. Soon, they could let computers do it for them. In Silicon Valley, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Well, the diner restaurant chain Denny's isn't relying on any fancy computers to get our emotions going. It's reverting to an old standby, bacon. The chain has launched a big ad campaign for what it's calling Baconalia, a whole menu of bacon-filled items like bacon meatloaf, bacon flapjacks, the triple bacon sampler, and of course, the maple bacon ice cream sundae. The marketing chief for Denny's told Advertising Age, "No chain has embraced bacon like we have. We truly believe the bacon trend is here to stay." Well, I, for one, welcome this development, although I don't know about a maple bacon ice cream sundae. That seems a step too far. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
The Obama administration wants to win the future, so it set up a new government agency to handle that.
The highway of government programs here is littered with carcasses of programs that were ill-conceived or ill-implemented, where large amounts of money have gone to firms, but very little innovation has come out of it.
I'm Kai Rizdal. The fate of innovation lies in the hands of governments. The story next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.